This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Wonder Woman is an iconic superhero whose reputation ranks at the top of the pack, right alongside legends like Batman and Superman. The Amazonian warrior princess is best known for her battle skills and formidable weapons like her lasso of truth and indestructible bracelets. Wonder Woman first appeared in comic books in the 1940s, but her image and character has since soared far beyond the page. This year, a Triangle-based theater group called Summer Sisters used the pop culture icon as the inspiration for a new experimental theater piece. Behind the Boots explores the connections between heroism, feminism, truth, justice, and our everyday lives. The play's on stage this Thursday through Saturday at Common Ground Theater in Durham, and I'm joined by three of the participating artists. Rachel Clem is an acting coach and instructor at NC State who founded Summer Sisters. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. Tamara Kassane is a freelance theater artist who co-leads and directs the group. Tamara, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much.
Deirdre Shipman works in the theater department at Duke University and is a veteran of Summer Sisters. Welcome, Deirdre. Good to have you.
So glad to be here.
Deirdre is with us along with the other two, but these three now are part of Summer Sisters, Rachel, and maybe we should start by the Wonder Women who are Summer Sisters. Tell us about that group and how you got together.
Well, we started Summer Sisters about 3 years ago. It's a collective of female artists from the area. I just had noticed as a director in the area that there are lots of women who are super talented and really excited to do explorative work. And so I thought, how can we make something for them and something for, us and myself that can explore like feminine ideas and ways that we could do that. So we started about 3 years ago, and we meet once a week throughout the summer. And it's a really easy way to get some work done and to bond with each other and have a good time and create.
So, Tamara, tell us about Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, why did you decide to look at her and explore that as this project?
Well, the first year of Summer Sisters, we used a graphic novel as our jumping off point. Every summer, we try to take a mother text or mother idea and use that as inspiration to create work around it. So we started with a graphic novel, and then the second summer, we used Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein. And so then this summer, we decided to do something a little bit different by considering a historical figure or an American icon. And what we realized is that we didn't need to have her necessarily be a nonfiction person, but fictional would be appropriate as well. And Wonder Woman just really excited the group. We did it very democratically. We have voted on who we wanted to explore this summer, and Wonder Woman was a clear majority winner.
Well, Deirdre, you're the in-house comic book expert in this all of this. Tell us about the history of Wonder Woman. It's fascinating, and maybe you could start with the creator, William Marston.
Yes. It is interesting for a feminist icon to have been created by a man, but Marston was a psychologist. He was working in the 30s. He developed the first lie detector test, and, you know, the comics were already having a problem as being seen as promoting violence. So DC brought him in to be on their editorial advisory board to lend a certain, you know, gravitas to the whole project, and he became fascinated with the idea of visual storytelling. He jumped in and started writing scripts, created this character based on two important women in his life. But he had a
his
theory.
Wives, right?
His wives.
Yeah, we
got to
get
yes.
to the weird part.
Okay,
of
let's
Marston
go right
here.
There.
Let's
We're
go
going
right
here.
There. Okay,
that's what I'm. he was married to a strong woman with a law degree, Elizabeth Holloway. He had an affair with a lab assistant, Olive Richard. He insisted that she move into the household. Both of the women had his children, and they developed their own bond and stayed as a couple sort of after he died. They lived together for another 30 years. They named their children after each other. Mm-hmm. And Olive, as it turns out, had blue eyes, black hair, and always wore like heavy silver bracelets. So she was clearly like a visual image for Wonder Woman.
And you talked about their bond. Speaking of bond, Marston was had another characteristic, a little preference that he showed.
It's hard to get away, especially in the early issues. There is a lot of bondage. He had psychological theories about power relations and submission and dominance. And in nearly every issue of the comic, you'll see Wonder Woman chained up. Again, it's pretty contradictory for an icon that's been raised as a feminist hero for American women. And that's one of the things that we've been working with, exploring, kind of struggling with.
Well, I can imagine. Rachel, tell us more about that, because this is a complicated figure and one that has figured into a feminist theory as well as pop culture in many ways, in and out. Talk about the conversations you had in developing this show.
One of the things that we found was we got really hung up on her outfit, her costume, because it feels so sexualized. And I think as feminists, it's problematic. We felt, like how do we tell our daughters that this is strong? And we talked a lot about the costume until we finally said, wait a minute, that's such a small part of who she is. And can we look behind the costume? That's where we came up with the title, Behind the Boots.
And you integrated that. Maybe this is the perfect time for the first scene that you wanted to,
sure,
to do.
Yeah, great. This is our version of The View. We call it Our View. Welcome back to Our View, where women talk about real issues that matter to us. In this segment, we are talking about Wonder Woman and
what she means to us.
Did you hear? There's a new look for Wonder Woman. Here's a quote from an article in Forbes. Poor Wonder Woman. Now that she's finally making her modern era screen debut, all we can talk about are her shoes. Well, let's talk about those shoes. They are thigh-high leather and gold boots with 3-inch heels. How much world-saving can she do in those?
What's wrong with heels? I love heels.
Her costume, or uniform, as some fans call it, has always been up for debate. What about her traditional sparkly bathing suit?
But that sparkly bathing suit, as you call it, stands for Wonder Woman's commitment to the United States of America. It's patriotic, and that's what young girls look up to.
Why are we even talking about her clothes at all? Let's focus on Wonder Woman's accomplishments. Get back to what she stands for, like love, truth, and justice. Wasting time discussing her appearance means less time to talk about what she's actually doing, what she stands for, and who she is.
I think the question comes up because our daughters see a scantily dressed babe superhero and they think, do I need to look like her to be her?
It's important to remind our girls that a hero is defined by what she does, not what she wears.
When it comes down to it, footwear just doesn't equal personal worth to me. People can kick butt in whatever shoes they feel comfortable in.
That's right. And that's
what she means to us.
And that is a scene from the new experimental theater production, Behind the Boots, on stage this Thursday through Saturday at Common Ground Theater in Durham, 8 o'clock. We've got information at stateofthings.org. Three of the participants are here in the studio. So, Deirdre, tell us more about this costume over time. It did change, and it said a lot about where we were, you know, in history.
Absolutely. I think you can see America's obsessions in each era as you see Wonder Woman changing over the decades. In the 50s, she was forced into a more feminine, traditional role, because in the 40s, she had been really a fighter during the war. Afterwards, women are getting kicked out of the workplace, you know, right. And so was she. Her role was cut back. And it kept changing. Like in the 60s, she was stripped of her superpowers and ended up as a shop girl, basically, running a boutique, but still being a martial artist.
Right.
And it was Gloria Steinem in the 70s who brought her back as into her, you know, sparkly hot pants outfit by petitioning DC and saying that this is a feminist icon. Give her back her superpowers and let's see. And nowadays, she's being reinvented again, I think, as more of a warrior princess. Mm. She's got that Xena warrior princess look going on, which I'm excited about.
But Tamara, tell us more, because the costume, of course, is one thing, but what does it mean to explore this character, Wonder Woman, as a hero?
Well, one of the most exciting things to me about working with Wonder Woman over the summer is that we quickly discovered that there's a lot of richness and depth to her story and to her character. So once you go beneath the sort of superficial layer of what she looks like, it really raises questions about who she is as a hero and then what it means to be a hero. Who are our modern heroes? Are we, do we have the capability to be heroes ourselves? And what is it like to walk that hero's journey? And I think those questions have been raised throughout the summer, and we've done a lot of conversing about, you know, everyday heroes and their importance, and really, really digging into kind of everyday heroic acts, and that has been really exciting.
And Rachel, it seems to me this is great grist for a theatrical exploration, in the sense that, you know, here's somebody that really starts out as a commercial project, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's sell comic books, and how are we going to do that? Mm-hmm. But you cannot get away from the sort of the underlying tensions and anxieties in the American imagination. If it's going to sell, all those things are in play too. It seems to me to be a lot of fun to have the kind of the breath to explore those things, using somebody that everybody knows. Yeah,
it is. And one of the reasons we picked Wonder Woman because we felt like she could be our big summer blockbuster and we could have a lot of fun. Last year, we explored Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and we ended up calling it Monster Camp because we felt like we were at camp every Sunday night. We were singing and dancing and making arts and crafts. And so Wonder Woman has been fun that way, too. You know, she's really colorful, really deep and strong. And so we've had a lot of fun dancing and singing and creating paintings of her.
Kicking up our boots.
You've got another scene prepared for us. Maybe you can set it up for us.
We sure do. So this is a scene that came from a bunch of different writing. We listed names of people who were everyday or who were modern heroes for us. We talked about the qualities of heroes, and then we went through and we found, did some research and found some quotes from some of those modern day heroes that really meant a lot to us. We also put some of our own quotes, our own heroic moments in there. So this is a compilation of all of those ideas into this piece that we call Heroes. Heroes.
Inspire.
Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world.
Draw the line.
Enough.
Sacrifice.
It allows you to give back and to consider yourself not as a single individual who may have achieved whatever, but to be a part of an ongoing historical movement.
Raise their hand.
I disagree.
Speak the truth.
The history of progress is written in the blood of men and women who have dared to espouse an unpopular cause. As, for instance, the black man's right to his body or woman's right to her soul.
Scream.
Pick on someone your own size.
Draw in deep breaths.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
Persist.
This is for Mom.
Trailblaze.
I defy the tyranny of precedent. I go for anything new that might improve the past.
Work hard.
Phone calls, memos, meetings, lunch at my desk. I'm not afraid of long, hard days.
Raise their voices loudly.
This was now. This was real. This is still happening.
Stand up for others.
I cannot give you access via my classroom.
Make waves.
We're always bending over backwards, being extra nice. And I don't know if being nice is my legacy.
Walk away.
I'll be back when you've calmed down.
Keep the peace.
If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other.
Empower.
Nothing changed in my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage were born.
Deirdre Shipman, Tamara Kassane, and Rachel Clem, they was performing a scene from the new experimental theater production, Behind the Boots. It's on stage Thursday through Saturday at Common Ground Theater in Durham. We have information at our website, stateofthings.org. You know, it does make you wonder. You talked about everyday heroes, the everydayness of heroic acts, but it also kind of makes you question what we consider everyday and what is, you know, sort of heroic writ large. You have to imagine if men were really sort of traditionally in charge of raising children, what a heroic act we would present that as, and how challenging and powerful we are as men to change their diapers and wash their dishes in the single bound. Mm-hmm. Sort of, I don't know how much of that entered into it, but I also want to get a sense of the visuals, Deirdre, because you're the, as I say, the comic book expert. To what extent is that reflected in the production?
Well, one of the fascinating things about comics for me is you know, it is all visual. You're looking at storytelling. Like, what does the sound look like if a bomb is exploding. And we worked some of that in with slides. There's video. We did a really cool project I thought of. We traced each other's outlines and then painted those outlines in as Wonder Woman. We did, we created personas for ourselves as superheroes and did photo shoots with our own costuming and ideas of like what would our secret identity be if we were heroes.
And Rachel, this really is, you see this as a kind of a workshop process. Tell us about the process of putting this one together.
Right. So in Summer Sisters, we come together over 3 months and work on the idea, the concept. We start in June where we just sort of brainstorm. And then in July, we start to theatricalize these ideas and expand on them. And then when we come to August, we go ahead and start to put them into order so that we can present them to an audience. But we really like to focus on the process of it and not so much on the product. We try and keep that to the very end. And it is a workshop production. You'll see people holding some words in their hands, and everything's not polished. It's not a, you know, it's not like what you'd see at the DPAC, but it is.
But it may really be someday, and that's the good thing.
Hey, yeah, okay.
I can say I knew you win.
I'll do that.
And paying attention to the process generally turns out a very good product. If you don't pay attention to the process, then, you know, what do you get?
It feels like we really get a chance to be artists in the room, that we really get to spend the time thinking about how can we go deeper? How can we find more truths about ourselves as opposed to really worrying about how does it look? So, yeah, it's. I think the process turns out something really interesting for people to watch.
Tell me more about Summer Sisters. Where does that name come from?
Summer Sisters was, I came up with the name and brought it to Tamara. I worked with a woman in Chicago when I was going to graduate school. She was in the playwriting department. I was in the acting department. But every summer, and we never saw each other, even though we were in the same school, we never saw each other. But every summer, we went and worked for the city of Chicago in a summer camp. And we just bonded our first year. And then every year after that, 4 or 5 years, we'd come back and it would be like, we just never left. We just started where we left off, and it was a very strong bond. And she's the one, her name is Nambi Kelly. She came up with she started calling me her summer sister. And that event, that idea of that feeling of coming back to each other and just feeling like we really know each other, even though we haven't seen each other for 7 or 8 months, it feels we really have that bond.
And who makes up the group? It's by invitation, right?
It's by invitation, although our first year we invited, I think we had 12 women or so, and they told us that they were always coming back and that we had no choice there. That's right. We had no choice. So we invite the same women back every year, but we do try and add and grow the group. And some people can't come back every year, so those spots get filled, but it is by invitation.
And Tamara, you're talking about Wonder Woman. We were hoping for our first on-air delivery.
Oh.
But no, it looks like the little guy's going to hold out for a little while.
It is one of my superpowers to give birth, although not on command. So.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That is the superpower, and it just is gone unrecognized for too long.
Yeah.
And does this do this? One of the original charges and challenges was to give more roles for women, and I guess when you thought about bringing this group together, and it sounds like this is one of those projects that's kind of spot on, right?
It's a great opportunity for everyone to contribute however they feel inspired. So everyone will write for this project. So in that way, we have 12 playwrights and we have 9 performers, and we have a couple of people who are directing small scenes. We have people who are contributing visual elements. We have people who are singing. So it is an incredibly collaborative process, and it allows people to take risks in the rehearsal space that they might not take in other projects, because part of what we're trying to do is deepen our own craft, and that requires a little bit of risk-taking and experimentation and taking chances, and we can do that with each other. So I think it provides lots of opportunity not only to become better artists, but for many people, this kind of weekly rehearsal process is all that they can accommodate in their busy lives. And so if it weren't for this type of project, a lot of people wouldn't be able to participate at all in theater performance.
Tamara Kassane, Rachel Clem, Deirdre Shipman are working on the project Behind the Boots. It is going to be, you can find out more about it, but it starts, it's Thursday through Saturday, right?
At
Common Ground in Durham. Just ahead, the only surviving member of the legendary Four Tops joins us on the State of Things. Stay tuned.